Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Football Friday is brought to you by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. We are taking your calls. Now, we're going to start with this question, which is what you hope comes from Pete and Jody's meeting, and maybe whether you expect anything to come from it, because, Jake, you and I were talking during the break, and I got to be really honest. Not only do I think nothing comes from this, and I think Pete Carroll is going to be here, I don't even think we're owed an explanation of what comes from this, because while the Seahawks need to fix things, they have a lot of changes that they need to make. They need to get on the right path. And they need to make changes to do it. I don't think you can run everything back exactly as it is with no changes made whatsoever, whether it's personnel, whatever it is, and expect to get to a Super Bowl. Like, I think you need to make some serious changes. That being said, this isn't the Giants, where they're a hot mess of an organization, looking at now their fourth coach in, what, 8 years, however many years, that owe fans an explanation of where the direction is. Everyone knows what the direction is for the Seahawks. The direction is playoffs, and you've got Pete Carroll under contract, Russell Wilson under contract, John Schneider under contract. Like, are we owed them coming out to say in a statement that these three are still under contract?
We're not owed that whatsoever. I don't think we're owed anything. I think it would be nice. I think it would be nice for everyone to have that sense of clarity. And look, I mean, this is a unique situation. So before anybody goes out there locally and says, well, this is what everything has always been the case. Well, there hasn't been a season like this. There hasn't been the conversation that has gone on for a year plus in the offseason and the drama that's ensued with this organization. So I do believe that a sense of clarity would be very positive for the organization. And that doesn't mean it comes in the form of firings. It comes in the form of changes. I think it would be just as powerful to have a sense of clarity of, hey, here's where we're going. This is where we are. Here's our sense of, renewal to a degree of we are reaffirmed in our plan moving forward and how we want to get things done. I think that's just as powerful. I think that's just as powerful of a statement to somebody like Russell Wilson. I think that's just as powerful a statement to the fan base and to from a national perspective. Because guess what, Stacy? For everybody out there that assumes all those things, no one knows. So let's be clear about that. No one has any idea what's going on right now. We know that they are under contract. That's what we know. But we don't know anything else outside of that. And we're talking about everyone, locally and nationally, from reporters in an industry where getting information is number one, right? And leaking information and reporting information is number one. And to have, you know, some of the biggest power brokers in the NFL from an information standpoint say, man, we have no idea what's going on within the building, I think is something that everyone is a little leery of. And us here locally have more of an understanding of how procedures and protocols go. But I do think that having that clarity would be great. But also, there are more important things in my mind as well that you could get out of, whether there's you're talking about hopes of what could come out of this meeting, hopes of being on the same page in terms of moving forward, in terms of how they're going to address their offensive line issues, their pass rush issues, you name it. You talk about some of those changes. Well, how do they go about getting that done?
All right. So then what would you want to know? Then that's my question. What would you actually want to know? I don't think we're going to find out anything. Jake said clarity would absolutely still matter. This is new territory for the Seahawks. I don't even know if we're owed that. I'm still figuring it out. But what do you hope comes from the meeting? And maybe, like, if there is clarity, what would you actually want to know? What would you want to know from this meeting between Jody Allen and Pete Carroll? 206-421-3776. Call right now. Open phone lines. 206-421-3776. Starting with Bill in Linwood. Bill, what would you want to know, or what do you hope comes from the meeting?
Yeah, hi. Oh, I'm very happy. Jake, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm so glad.
Well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate that. Me too.
Yeah, hey. Anyway, Jake uses the word stability. I think that's right. My word would be that would stability coming out of this meeting would mean a temporary stability. Is what I would say that we need by them saying, yes, John Schneider is here for the time. Coach Pete remains, is here, is strong. We back him 100%. That would at least provide some stability for a couple of months, maybe until, you know, until Mark Rogers or somebody comes and says these comments about Russell Wilson, which is going to create a big firestorm of text, post, rumors, talk, all this stuff. So I think the stability would be good for a while.
Mm. So let me get this clear, Bill. Are you saying you want the stability to be, you know, addressed first and foremost because of the storm that you believe that's going to be created by Mark Rogers and therefore Russell Wilson potentially? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, stability with who they're talking about now, with the general manager and the coach. I think that would be a big help. Because, and I agree with Stacey too, I really think there's going to be eventually some big, big changes coming. Because like I've told you, we're a long way from first place in our division.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Jake, did you have one more thing you wanted to add?
Well, no, I think it's an interesting point. I mean, look, you know, having the moment of being firm and being, you know, stalwart in that regard, that no matter what, look, this is what's going on. And then from there, it's up to Russell Wilson and his side of things to figure out what they want to do with that. So that is an interesting perspective and an interesting point that Bill brings up, in terms of providing that stability or what it would bring to the table. And then the other thing that Bill talked about at the very end is saying, look, we want changes. We want big things to change in order to get us back into, you know, playoff contention. And I guess one of the things that I worry about, if things stay the status quo, Stacey, completely, everything stays the status quo, then what makes you think that things are going to change in the way that they approach things? Because, I mean, if that's the case, then they feel pretty firm in terms of their plan and how they've gone about things, and how they've addressed certain position groups in the past.
Yeah, I guess status quo, I think of like the three power players, Russell Wilson, John Schneider, Pete Carroll, not necessarily like every single approach that you have to everything. Like that report that we heard, or that idea from Jeremy Fowler, that John Schneider could take over final say with personnel decisions moving forward, just to have one person decide it or whatever. Like that to me, yes, it's a break from status quo, but I don't know that it would drastically alter you know, what I see as being their main power brokers. But I do think it might lead to a different team and some different ideas with roster building. So that could be something where it's like, is it a good move for the Seahawks? I don't know, but it is a small change. Let's see if it works. Let's see what happens. I don't know. What answers do you need from the Seahawks? Like, what answer do you want from the Seahawks? What answer do you need? Maybe you just want to know, is Russell Wilson going to be here in 2022? Are Pete Carroll and John Schneider going to be here? Are you guys going to be here? Are you getting to a Super Bowl? Are you going to work for it? Are you guys going to make any trades? What do you want to know? What's the answer that you need from the Seahawks? 206-421-3776. Jeremy, calling from Texas. Jeremy, what do you hope comes from it? What do you need to know?
Yeah, I think from a short term, I'm going to want to start seeing signs of, you know, position coaches and the evaluation and, you know, those that they want to keep and those that they think that they can, you know, do better. Like if the defense was a big problem and, you know, the assessment is, well, we think we can do better by, you know, going after this guy over here and bringing him into our staff. I'd like to see those types of things happen from a longer term. You know, the what's going on with Russ is the big thing with me. You know, if he's only under contract for two more years and you're contemplating whether to trade him now because of his value, you know, Jody's going to want to know, you know, is can we really rebuild this team in 2 years? Is Russ going to want to be with us longer than that? If the answer is yes, then I think they need to talk about extending him now and freeing up more cap space. And they should start announcing that sooner rather than later, because that's going to help all this other chatter die down. It's going to send a message. Yes, he's really happy. He wants to be here. He's putting his money where his mouth is. Rogers will shut up. And then we can start talking about what we need to do to improve this.
I guess what I'd say, Jeremy, is there's a world where Mark Rogers doesn't stop. And there's also a world where the Seahawks maybe don't care about chatter, where they just think like, no, we don't care if people aren't sure about what we're doing, you know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that all the uncertainty what's caused this. I mean, when you look at the beginning of the year, you know, Seattle was projected to finish last place. And I think the two main reasons for that were the chemistry issues with Russ and Pete and the lack of talent and the fact that just really the cupboards have gone bare and while the other teams have reloaded and restocked. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things that they've got to be looking at, I think, in the offseason.
Yeah, I hear you, Jeremy. And this is where I wish that we just knew more about Jody Allen. Like, look, I think that typically a GM and even a head coach are probably more qualified than an owner to know football matters. Like, there are a lot of owners that aren't necessarily from, like, football backgrounds or X's and O's backgrounds. And really, they're, like, business backgrounds. So it's like, how do we win? How do we break even? How do we, you know, how do we theoretically get the right people and the right voices around us? Like, that's where an owner might excel. It's just, like, finding the right people to put in the right places, not necessarily making the right picks. But I agree with you in the sense that, like, my look at where the Seahawks need what they need to do to get better starts with personnel and starts with talent acquisition. So it's hard for me to know what Jody Allen thinks about that. Like, is Jody Allen looking at the PFF OL rankings saying, like, hey, you guys are 25th. Like, you really got a hole here at center. You got to shore up the interior. What are you going to do at right tackle? Like, are those conversations that Jody's having? Or is she, you know, looking at Pete saying, like, hey, I trust you, I believe you, like, let's get this done? So it's, I think for that reason, like, I don't, not only do I not expect anything to come from it, like, I don't know. I think there's a world where they just decide today, Jake, hey, you know what, obviously we all want to get to a Super Bowl, and Pete and John find a way to get this done, and that they don't have the answers or clarity of today of how that's going to get done.
Well, to me, that would be a problem. If that's it, look, I'm not saying you need to have the people defined, this is, okay, we're going to get Chandler Jones, we're going to get Jason Kelce, we're gonna have these deals done, here's exactly how it's going to go down, here's the year, here's the number, right? I'm not saying that you have to have all that set in stone right now, but if you're telling me, Stacey, in that one question, you don't even know if they have the answer to that.
But I think, like, it's normal to not have the answer to that. It's January.
No, I don't. I mean, you know what your problems are. They're fully aware of what their problems are and where it needs to be addressed. The question is, how do you go about doing it? That's the question. Where do you allocate your resources to try and make that happen? Are your resources going more towards the players that you currently have and that you want to re-sign back here to Seattle? Or is the opportunity out there in open free agency?
Yeah, but I think that some of those decisions are really difficult. Let's say that one of the most important decisions they have to make.
I didn't say they weren't.
No, I know, but let's say one of the most important decisions they have to make is, like, do you release Bobby Wagner and try to get him to come back in that Carlos Dunlap style sign on a shorter term deal? Well, on the one hand, like, Bobby Wagner, you know, led your team in tackles, probably by his own admission would say it wasn't still, even then, his very best year. And yet, releasing him would also clear up $16.5 million. If you release Bobby Wagner, you release Bobby Wagner. What if you release a guy that, like, is going to come back and then play like a first-team All-Pro and then play even better? You know what I mean? Like, you might think, hey, I know I need cap space. I know I want to upgrade at center. But, like, how do I do that is a decision that they might not know yet.
Well, I believe that when you're looking at that part of it, I think that they know the answers that are staring them in the face. So, yeah, they might not have the exact answer as, does that result in Bobby Wagner not being here, if you're giving that example. But I know I'm going to address it with Bobby Wagner. I know that I'm going to say, hey, we can't keep your current contract. We just can't. So can we extend you? Can we come to an agreement? Can we figure something out? Or is this something where we're just unfortunately going to have to part ways? I mean, I do think that there is a level of that, that they have an understanding. Now, do they know how it's exactly going to work out? No. I mean, Jaron Reed is the perfect example of that, Stacey. They thought that they could approach Jaron Reed last year in the offseason, give him more money in his pocket to restructure his deal instead of giving him a new extension that he wanted, and say, this would be good enough and we'd be able to still have Jaron Reed on our team. And Jaron Reed turned around and said no. And I think that was a tremendous surprise to the organization and everyone involved, to where that didn't go according to plan. So you're not going to have everything figured out, and that's not what I'm demanding or thinking is going to happen. But you're going to have a pretty good sense of the direction and where you're going, how you want to address certain problems, and the solutions that that are available to you to make that happen.
All right. We're going to have some fun here coming up at 1:30. Wild card. It is a trivia style game show getting you ready for wild card weekend. Before we get to that, let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire.
All right.
He's really a guru. He really played the game.
Jake, first down. Why are you anxiously awaiting to hear what comes out of the meeting with Jody Allen, Pete Carroll, and John Schneider?
Why am I anxiously awaiting?
Yes.
Because I'm awaiting clarity. And I believe that, look, with everything that has gone on with this offseason, and even if there are no changes being made, I think that there needs to be a reaffirmed conversation of, hey, this is the direction that we're going in. We feel great about this. We feel great about our leadership. We feel great about how everything is going, and we are committed to this in the long term. And even though that might seem obvious to a lot of people, I believe that a reaffirmed stance would mean a great deal from an outward perspective. The other side of it is that if there is changes, I mean, they can happen at different points in time. Clarity can be brought, a couple days after with Brian Schottenheimer, or it could be a few weeks or a week from the end of the season. There's no clear-cut timeline as to when things should happen, but it is unusual. It is unusual to have a meeting that is very known by everyone out there. Clearly, here's the logic in it. People are saying, well, you know, no one knows what's going on, or no one needs to feed anybody information. Well, then who was feeding the information to Bob Condotta and other national reporters about when this meeting was going to occur at all? Right? Somebody had to tell them. And so it is unusual that not only have we learned that this meeting was happening yesterday, but that there was no other information that was given or any clarity that has been given as to what the results of those meetings are. And that is unusual from an NFL perspective. It's not necessarily unusual from a Seahawk perspective. So what do those changes mean, or what came out of that meeting? We do not know, and I am anxiously awaiting to find out what that is. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm sitting here anxiously awaiting changes, but I will be surprised if the true status quo remains the same. I'm not saying people lose jobs, from higher-ups or anything like that. But I would be surprised if there wasn't any structural changes that were made to at least tweak to some degree.
Second down. Jake, you want to try to hurt me along with Curtis for my very kind donut takes? Well, here's one for you. Corey Linsley and Creed Humphrey were first and second in All-Pro voting at center. How does that make you feel? How's it feel, Jake, to hurt?
My question is, why do you go out of your way to try to hurt me? I don't understand. Like, this, all I feel is pain. And the reason why is because was this not something that I wanted desperately going into this last offseason? I mean, bringing on somebody with the talent of Corey Linsley and or Creed Humphrey, and having someone that can really stabilize the middle of your offensive line and the leadership that it provides, and the ability to both pass protect and run block, is so undervalued in this league. They're the ones that set the whole tone. And I believe that a guy like Corey Linsley and Creed Humphrey could make a world of difference for this offensive line. And now they've put themselves in a position where they missed out on obtaining two All-Pro caliber talents, and we'll see what they're able to potentially try to go after this offseason. There's some interesting candidates. Ryan Jensen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, you have Jason Kelsey from the Philadelphia Eagles. He's 34 years old, but still a very, very good football player, very productive, very smart. So those would be my two leading guys as of right now. I need to watch more film to confirm it would be a scheme fit, but I think Jason Kelsey would be a easy scheme fit. Ryan Jensen, I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but those are two guys that I would be eyeing in terms of additions that they could make. And they probably wouldn't be at the same price point as Corey Linsley was this last offseason, but I would have gladly paid Corey Linsley knowing I was getting an All-Pro center that was going to anchor my offensive line, Stacey, for the next 4 years.
Third down. All right, on Saturday, you've got Raiders, Bengals, Patriots, Bills. On Sunday, you've got Eagles, Bucks, 49ers, Cowboys, and Steelers, Chiefs. And on Monday night, you've got Cardinals, Rams. Which of these wild card matchups are you most looking forward to?
The one that I'm looking for the most forward to is going to be, honestly, Monday night, Arizona against the Arizona Cardinals against the Los Angeles Rams. I'm curious to see who wins that one. I think that they're very close in terms of the rosters. I know both of them have had unique finishes to the season where there has definitely been highs and lows. They're not necessarily both teams that are firing on all cylinders going into the playoffs. So that is a game that I really true as a toss-up, and I'm going to be curious to see how that one unfolds. And there's a lot of storylines that will come out of that for either team if they are on the losing end of it. And then the other game that I'm going to be really, really interested to watch is going to be the San Francisco 49ers game at Dallas. I really believe that the 49ers have the ability to pull this thing off. And if Jimmy G can take care of the football, I think San Francisco's got a chance. I mean, Dallas has not been... Dallas has been wildly inconsistent this year. They've got all the talent in the world, but they've been inconsistent. I think San Francisco could present some serious problems for them.
Fourth down. All right, let's talk about the lower seeds, the visiting teams, Raiders, Pats, Eagles, 49ers, Steelers, and Cardinals. Which lower seeds have the best chance to pull off the upset this wild card weekend? You mentioned one of them, but is there another?
Yeah, there is another. To me, the Las Vegas Raiders are a team that do also have a tremendous chance to pull off the upset. The reason why is just Cincinnati. They are the better team. There's no question about it. But they're young. They haven't been in this position before. And I'm not saying the Raiders are filled with experience, but they do have Derek Carr, who is a very experienced quarterback in this league. They're playing together right now. They have really, really rallied around their interim head coach. And so don't count out the Las Vegas Raiders in this game. I think that they would be the next team that I would point to that have a great chance of maybe potentially pulling off the upset.
Answering all of your questions coming up at 1:45. Send those questions in right now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. That's what I need to know coming up at 1:45 before we get to that. It is the Trivia Face-Off, a game show to get you guys ready for a wild, wild card weekend with Wild Card, Wild Card, Wild Card coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Wild card, 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 wild card.
I didn't have a clever sound effect, yeah.
I was waiting to see what it would be.
Look, I'm used to having an opponent to look
with
forward
an
to,
or,
and the Seahawks
it.
Kind of let us down this year.
That's completely fair. It is Wild Card, Wild Card, Wild Card, our weekly Friday game show during the football season, getting you guys ready for the weekend slate of games with a trivia-style face-off between Jake and Curtis. Curtis won the regular season, but we start with a clean slate in the postseason, so everyone's going 1-0 right now. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I will go first.
Jake,
here.
Your question. This would be Ben Roethlisberger's 23rd postseason game. He lost his last postseason start to which team?
Okay, say that one more time.
This will be Ben Roethlisberger's 23rd postseason game. He lost his last postseason start to which team?
Oh, lost his last. Okay. Interesting question here, Stacey. I really appreciate the question that you gave me here.
I feel like
here.
This is you're buying yourself some time. This is
no,
a good question.
I know,
I love this
I know,
question. It's the best
I know
ever.
What the answer is here, Stacey. I'm just trying to, you know, let you know how much I love the question. And they made the playoffs last year, and they lost to...
Yep. All right, Jake, whenever you're ready. I know you know the answer, but just whenever you're ready.
Oh,
like 10 more seconds?
Yeah, maybe.
Cleveland Browns?
Yes. Yes, that's right. It's Cleveland in 2020. And the
Started
best part.
Really confident
the best
that.
Part, peek behind the curtain, is that we were literally talking about this during the break.
And Jake couldn't remember.
I totally knew that.
Yeah.
I mean,
all
I was listening the entire time. And,
a
you know,
point.
Look. I knew that. I did not just try to think of who were the teams that made it to the divisional round last year.
All right. 1 point for Jake. Takes a 1-0 lead.
No sweat.
A chance to tie it up. Yours is true or false.
Easy questions.
True or false, this is actually Derek Carr's first postseason game.
That is true. He has never played in a postseason game.
That is true.
He broke his leg the other time the Raiders were in the playoffs. They lost that game.
Yeah.
But
where is my Rob Schneider cut? You give him all the easy ones.
Oh, well, just you wait, Jake. Your question. 7 of this year's 12 playoff teams did not make the postseason last year. Name 3 of them.
7 of the 12 teams did not make the postseason last year. Okay, so the Raiders is one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They are one.
The 49ers are one. And the Arizona Cardinals are one.
Yes, Jake, a point for you. Jake, you were just complaining that you get all the hard questions. Well, Curtis, your question, name the other 4.
You've got the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
The New England Patriots.
Correct.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
And the Dallas Cowboys.
Correctamundo. Curtis gets a point as well. Ties it 2-2. Jake, your question. Prior to last year's Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the last wild card team to win a Super Bowl was? It's multiple choice. A, the 2016 New England Patriots. B, the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. Or C, the 2012 Baltimore Ravens.
2017 Eagles.
Incorrect. It was
what?
They had home field advantage throughout.
The 2012 Baltimore Ravens. The Eagles won their division. Yeah.
Oh, tough gosh.
Time. Curtis, a chance to pull ahead.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Curtis, Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase led all rookies in receiving yards this year. That's awesome.
Which rookie had the next
most receiving yards? It's multiple choice. Kyle Pitts, Jaylen Waddle, Amon-Ra St. Brown, or Devonta Smith?
Boy, Jaylen Waddle set the rookie record for most receptions in a season, but I don't know if that came with a bunch of yards. Kyle Pitts just surpassed 1,000 yards, so it's between those two. I am going to say Jaylen Waddle.
Incorrect.
Ooh.
Kyle Pitts.
Wow.
Kyle Pitts led Waddle, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown's a little further down. And Devonta Smith, who I think was like 29th in yards. So, Jake, you have a chance to pull ahead here. I believe in you. You can do it. This is also multiple choice. How many more postseason passing yards does Tom Brady have than the next closest quarterback? A, 2,000. B, 3,000. C, 4,000, D, 5,000, which is just an insane, stat.
Any one of these numbers is absurd.
Just absolutely absurd.
I like have to double check this.
I am going to go with, I'm going to go with D, 5,000 yards.
That is correct. Tom Brady with 5,000 more postseason yards than the next closest quarterback. He has 12,449 passing yards in the postseason. Next closest is Peyton Manning with 7,300.
He's going to be close to surpassing like 100,000 yards regular season and postseason.
Insane. All right, so Jake takes a 3-2 lead. Curtis, you need to get this one right to tie it up.
Yeah, I do.
Here's your question. The Bills' defense led the NFL in scoring, limiting opponents to about 17 points per game. Which postseason team's defense was second in scoring? You have multiple choice also.
Okay.
The Bucs, the Patriots, or the Steelers?
That's a good one.
Thank y'all.
I'm going to say that it is the New England Patriots.
That is correct. Curtis has tied the game, which means we get to go to my tiebreaker. Here's how the tiebreaker works. In honor of Cliff Kingsbury making a postseason appearance for the Cardinals.
We are playing Cliff King or Barry or whatever.
We are playing famous Cliffs, famous Kings, and famous Barrys. Here's how it works.
Yes.
I will start reading, I'll tell you, like, famous king, and then I'll start reading out a clue. Chime in with your name. Once you chime in with your name, I'm going to stop reading. You have to tell me the answer, okay?
Whether it's a king Whether it's a cliff, a king, or a berry.
Yeah, so Curtis, given that Jake is remote, why don't you give yourself, if you want to chime in, just like a 3-second delay or something before you do it. All right, so here we go.
Right.
Chime in with your name if you know the answer. Famous cliffs, famous kings, famous berries. We're going to start with this one. Famous cliff, a former Seahawk drafted by the Lions out of Purdue.
Curtis. Cliff Averill.
Yes, correct. 1.4.
So how many are we going
Dang
to?
It.
Who is it, like first to four, first to five?
I'm going to, let's go first to four.
Okay.
Next question. Famous kings. Chime in when you know the answer. By the way, these are not all sports figures. A four-year starter at UW who became a second-round pick in 2017.
Curtis. Kevin King.
Yes. Jake, my guy. Okay. Curtis needs two more.
I don't
Jake,
do well
in
these settings, Stacey. You know this.
Famous cliffs, famous kings, famous berries. This one, a famous berry. She won an Academy Award for Best Actress. For her role.
Jake. Halle Berry. Yeah.
Halle Berry.
Okay,
Jake
two,
has
one.
The point. There
it's
you
two,
go.
One.
There you go. Also in Famous Berries, a famous and controversial baseball player.
Curtis. Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Famous cliffs, famous kings, famous berries. Curtis, you can win it with one more,
here
Jake.
Go.
You
got to
get
we
in
go.
Here with three more. This one is going to be famous. Famous cliffs. The clue, chime in with your name when you know the answer. A very large canine who stars...
Curtis.
Jake, Clifford the Big Red Dog.
The Big Red Dog. I said that.
No! I said the whole thing first.
Jake was even, he was like, Clifford the Big Red Dog. All right, let me give Jake one more shot. Let me go one more
Come
shot.
Come on. Right.
Famous cliffs, famous kings, famous berries. We're going famous king. A former king of England, best known for his six wives, including one
Jake.
Who was Jake.
King Henry V.
Okay. Is it the eighth?
The eighth?
I wasn't going to buzz in.
I'm going to give you that
okay,
for King
so it's,
Henry.
It's 3-2.
Famous cliffs.
It's 3-2.
Okay. Curtis steals it with a win. Famous cliffs, famous kings, famous fairies. Famous king, a longtime Seattle Mariner who won the AL Cy Young.
Curtis. That'd be
Jake.
King Felix Hernandez.
Sorry, Jake.
Oh, man.
Curtis has it. Curtis takes wild card.
Dang it.
I am so sorry. We had some other
you
good
were not.
Ones
you
here.
Know what you did when you decided to put in a buzz-in style.
I told Curtis to take delays. I had my favorite one was Jake shouting out Curtis to buzz in at one point. And
was
then,
that in this game?
It was in a previous game, but he
started
doing it. And
he
then,
was so
and then
shook.
Jake not even waiting, just Clifford the Big Red Dog.
I think I said Curtis's name again when I was trying to say Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I like it. That's fine. All right, that will do it for
so
wild card. Guys, there's four games to be played. You could split the series, Jake. You could win the next three and not sweep, but win the
sure.
series. You never know. We got three more.
Yeah.
We got three more trivia
championship
games to play
opportunities.
Here. That's exactly
Let's
what
go.
This is. All right, what I need to know is coming your way next. Get your questions in right now to the Mac and Jack's text line 206-421-3776. Your questions are right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in right now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. What I Need to Know, are the Seattle Seahawks the best team not in the playoffs? They're up there. I mean, given how they finished the season, if you look at the last 5 weeks, yeah, I'd have to say one of the hottest teams in terms of just individual performances, like from Penny, not to make it.
I mean, it definitely. I would
I
say
think the
Dolphins.
Chargers,
do,
the Dolphins,
do I think,
the Chargers are
do,
in there too.
Do I think that the Seahawks, though, are a team, if they were put into the dance, that they would run the table?
No.
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
I don't think that whatsoever. But could they win a wild card game? Yeah, I think they could.
What I need to know, which sport has the best jersey to rock as casual wear? That's a good question.
That is, yeah.
That's a really good question. I am not going football jersey. I am going
I would
basketball
say basketball.
Hockey, basketball.
Hockey, you can wear it seasonally. You can't really wear it in the summertime. It's going to be really warm.
It's got to be basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball, yeah. Baseball, I don't know.
I think baseball, you totally can. I think basketball jerseys, I mean, come on. You're going to wear a tank top at all times of the year.
You got to have the guns to pull off a basketball jersey.
I mean, you could have a shirt under it.
Yeah,
you want it to be hip and cool.
I think a baseball jersey is the easiest thing to wear all year round. Also, low-key soccer jerseys are definitely something you can wear
as close to a t-shirt as you can get in terms of jerseys.
Very trendy. Stacey, you should know that. Everybody wears a soccer jersey fashionably.
Yeah, that's exactly right. From the 206, what I need to know, Mike Salk says he looks way worse on TV than either Jake or Stacey. Can you give him pointers on how to look better? Or do better. How to do better, maybe. Like, I think they mean, like, his mannerisms or the way that he presents himself on TV. He feels like he can't. I think I heard him talking about it. He feels like he doesn't know what to do with his hands, and he's, like, talking with his hands.
Kidding. I tell you, my first time doing live TV with Chris Francis on Cairo 7, I am sitting there, and we're on the field, and we're doing our post game, right? And I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know exactly, you know, how to stand or whatever, right? And so the entire time the show, I am literally turning to him and have my face towards Chris, and
not even
all
looking
you can
at the
see
camera
is my side
all.
Profile to the TV. And afterwards, Chris is like, "Yeah, you know, next time, you know, open your stance a little bit so they can see you, and you know, you just turn to me every now and then, you know, with your head, but try to look at the camera." I'm like, dude, there were breaks. Like, we had breaks in between.
Could you have told me this?
Like, the first time I did it, could you have helped me out? I did the entire show like that. Just turned to him, talking to Chris instead of looking at the
so
camera
funny.
At
it
all.
Itched from his face. I will say, so we had
I
Chris,
felt so stupid.
Chris brought out a box for me to stand on. And when the three of us were out there and I was standing in between the middle of you guys, I was so afraid that I would fall off of it because it was, like, just the width of my shoes. That I was afraid,
yes.
Am I going to fall off of this on TV, and are we going to have a grape lady moment where I fall and just go, ow, 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 or like whatever. Remember the grape lady? She falls and breaks her ribs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then a big gaffe was when I didn't know we were doing split screens, so I didn't know I was on TV, and I took out my phone, and I was just like texting on my phone or like looking up stats, and someone texted me. They were like, it looks like you're bored of Jake talking, and you took out your phone, and you're just texting.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time that you were bored about something that I was saying.
But
I do think that it is funny. You know, TV is, you know, you've got to be very on it, right? That's a big difference between TV and radio. Radio, we can expand a little bit more. We can have a little bit more in-depth conversation. But TV, you've got to be buttoned up, and you got to be on cue, ready to go. But Stacey, you got to think about what Curtis always says, the advice he always gives. You shouldn't have been worried. I mean, think of the clout. If you had
followed off, you
had a grape lady moment,
right. Yeah.
It would have gone viral.
You would have gotten so many followers.
This is my advice to Mike Salk for being on TV. Fall. Do something to go viral and have people share a video of you.
There it is.
And then you don't even need us anymore. You're going to be like on famous doing Good Morning America. It's like there the is, guy that fell over. On
that's
news.
Right.
There is no currency more valuable in 2022 than
exactly
internet
right.
Cloud.
You know what? For that matter, just freak out. Get up and go scream into the camera.
Just like
have a meltdown. A complete meltdown. What
like,
I
think
mean
about Bart Scott or Bart Scott. Do you remember anything? Do you remember anything that he has said other than the advice that he's given to Josh Allen about taking Viagra to keep himself warm?
Here's what Mike needs to do. When Mike, next time he's on TV, needs to, no matter what they're talking about, he can be asked, like, hey, do you think they should trade Russell Wilson? What do you want to do? Mike needs to turn toward the camera, look at it, and say, bring steroids back to baseball. Just see what comes of it. What I need to know.
Never know.
I recently watched the Matt Hasselbeck "We Want the Ball and We're Gonna Win" video. Oh, why'd you do that to yourself? Is Green Bay and Seattle an underrated rivalry? Lots of history there. Yes.
Neither team can win in each other's building.
That's part of it.
Yeah, well, that's
very true.
Yeah,
I'd say underrated rivalry. I mean, both teams have been great for a long time. And both teams have also been great for a long time and then starving to get back there. Like, for all that we talk about Green Bay, and yes, they've gotten to two consecutive NFC championships and look well in place to get to a third, Aaron Rodgers hasn't gotten back and won another Super Bowl. So, like, it's that hard to do it, and they're still hungry.
It is true. I think probably one of the reasons why it's an underrated rivalry is because, I mean, think about like the Minnesota Vikings, just the way the schedules have lined up. It's like the Seahawks can't get away from the Minnesota Vikings. Like perpetually, they are always scheduled with them. It was that way with the Carolina Panthers as well for a long time. And if you don't have that reoccurring game every year, then it does kind of fall by the wayside. But I do think it is a great rivalry between the two teams and a lot of history there, recent history as well.
What I need to know, what do the Rams do with Matt Stafford if they lose the wild card game? I don't think he goes anywhere. I mean, I think if they lose the wild card game, it'll be, I don't know. Matthew Stafford is an upgrade over Jared Goff no matter what. And I also think it's like in his hands. We were talking about how with both Dallas and Arizona, it's kind of the onus is on the head coach not to get in the way. It's almost like don't let bad Matthew Stafford get in the way. If he doesn't, the Rams can go really far. And I don't
Yeah,
like
they certainly can. And I think more of the conversation, you know, there might be some hot take artists that say, see, that trade was totally worthless and you didn't and blah, blah, blah. But I think that it was. It's a great chance. It's a great shot that you took to get an upgrade at the quarterback position. But it's going to – the conversation to me is – all right, well, how do you get Matthew Stafford to limit the interceptions? And it comes down to how much do you really let Matthew Stafford throw the football versus trying to find balance in your offensive attack? And I think that that's something that you're going to have to definitely evaluate going into the next year if you're Sean McVay. But we'll wait and see. Matthew Stafford, he's got that monkey on his back right now, and we'll see if he can get it off of him in terms of getting that first playoff win in his career.
All right. We want everyone to have a wonderful and safe weekend. Enjoy these games. We'll be recapping them all on Monday. Got a fun week ahead, but sports radio, sports talk radio doesn't stop right now. I mean, we're gone for the week. Thank you for listening to us. But Wyman and Bob are coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You need help.
No, you need help.